Good morning, Lynbrook Baptist Church. Good morning to you. How are you today? It's been a little while since I've been up here, so I'm filled with joy to be back. And hopefully we're here to celebrate the Lord and celebrate His Word today. Amen? Okay. Let's give honor to God's Word as we'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read the Scripture. I don't know if I prepared that in advance, but we'll read the Scripture together. So please stand in honor of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also those who have loved His appearing. Be diligent. Come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me in the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak I left with Carpus at Tonis when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me from His heavenly kingdom. For Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesimus. Araphas stayed with me in Corinth, but Typus I have left in Milesic. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eulius greets you, as well as Perdins, Linen, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Grace be upon you. Amen. And amen to God's Scripture. Please have a seat. Title of the message is entitled, The Charge to the Christian, 2 Timothy chapter 4. The end is near. The end is near. The Apostle Paul knows that he is coming to an end of his life. He is sitting in a dark and smelly cesspool of a prison, and he writes his final letter, which is 2 Timothy. Paul either has been told by the Roman guards that his days are numbered, or he has been told by the Holy Spirit. Either way, Paul knows that his days are numbered and he will soon be executed. So with great urgency, he pours out his most important charge to his most beloved disciple, his son in the faith, the one who he has raised in the faith, the one who he has laid hands upon, the one who he's commissioned for the gospel, the one who he has most faith will pass on his legacy when he dies. This would be his son in the faith, Timothy. So we have come to the end and the final and most important charge and the most important command and the most important directive. Throughout all of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul gives a lot of charges and directions and commands to his young disciple, his young son who will be the pastor of Ephesus. But this last charge he will give is the most important one. It's the strongest one. It's the one in the most serious manner. In fact, as these orders are given, Paul tells us that heaven, that God the Father and God the Son are bore witness to these charges that are going to be given to Timothy at this time. They bear witness, and this charge is given to Pastor Timothy of Ephesus. But it is passed on through the centuries to every Christian that ever was, and to Lynbrook Baptist Church as well. So Lynbrook Baptist Church, are you ready to respond and to obey the charge that's given here that I will share with you at this time? Are you ready? Are we sure? Okay, very good. Let's turn again to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Starting at verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The first and the most important charge of all is this: preach the word. Preach the word. Throughout the two letters, the Apostle Paul has given plenty of these commands and these charges to do many different things. But this last one, again, is the strongest and the most important. So much so that he proclaims that God and Jesus are witnesses. These commands come from the highest authority and shall be obeyed. Preach the word. Another word for preach. People get, they go, all right, preach the word. Okay, so if I'm not a preacher, that means I don't have to preach the word, right? Is that right? No. Come on, the good student says no. Another word for preach is proclaim. You are proclaiming the gospel. You are shouting it from the streets that so that all can hear and the gospel and all can know the promises of God are true. This is the job of every Christian. The charge of every Christian is to preach the word, to teach the word, to make disciples. It's for all of us, the most important message is the message of the gospel for us to share. Now, when I think of a preach the word or a herald, that he's a herald for the king. Before the age of the internet and TV and newspapers, there used to be the herald for the king. He would go upon the street and he would announce in the street what the king's directions were, what was most important to the king, what had to happen because the king said it had to happen. So proclaim it like a herald for the king. Hear ye all the world. God the Son has come to earth because God the Father loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God the Son came to earth. He lived as we lived. He died for our sins. He rose from the grave so that we could have our sins to be forgiven, so that we could receive him as Lord and Savior, so that we could have eternal life and eternal blessing and earthly blessing as well. This is the message that we are to proclaim as heralds of Christ. Proclaim and bear testimony that all the promises of God are true and amen in Christ Jesus. Preach Jesus to everyone, everywhere in your life As God brings people in your life, share God's word with them. As you go anywhere, share God's word. Preach the gospel. Preach it. Proclaim it. And be sure that when you are proclaiming God's word and you're preaching the gospel to people and you're sharing them about God and his promises, make sure that you're sharing God's word and his promises and you're not proclaiming yourself. Always proclaim God and his son. Put his son at the center of every message that you share. And make sure that you're not the center of every message you share. You want them to follow Christ, not follow you. May no person ever follow me, because that would be a big mistake. Because I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Just like them, just like you. The focus is to preach the gospel. Preach the word of God as God has given it to us. Preach it. God's word, when proclaimed and preached and taught rightly, it will, as the scriptures say, it will convince, it will rebuke, it will exhort. Let's look at that for a minute. It will convince, it will rebuke, it will exhort. It will convince the person. It will convince the person this. It will convince them that they are sinners that need a Savior. For the believer to be a disciple. For the disciple to become like Christ. We pray as we share this word that it will convince people of this truth. The word of God also, when preached and proclaimed, will rebuke a person as well. It will correct sinful behavior through sound Bible teaching. And then, when preached and proclaimed and taught rightly, it will exhort a person. Exhort is a very strong word for a very strong encouragement, a more like a commanding encouragement, to strongly encourage the person to push forward and be obedient to the Lord Jesus in faith, to be obedient to God's word. This is what God's word will do. When proclaimed rightly, it will convince, it will rebuke, it will exhort the person and the Christian, the non-believer and the believer. And Timothy knew, as we should all know, and we do know, that this does not come easy. Is this easy? Can anybody tell me it's easy, please? Okay, good, because I don't have to call you out. All right, because it's not easy. It's not easy. One must be ready, must be prepared, must be dedicated to training and committing to intense training in their life of faith. It doesn't come easy. You can't become a Christian. You can, but just not effectively well, and then go and share and expect there to be good results. You must be ready, prepared, and dedicated to training, committed to intense teaching of God's word. For you, Christian, at Lynbrook Baptist Church, this begins in your training center. Do you know what your training center is? Somebody can raise their hand and tell me. What is your training center? Where is your training center? Come on, somebody tell me, help me. Where's your training center? Anyone? Here, Lynbrook Baptist Church. The church is your training center. Your training center will be the Sunday school class that you will go to next week and the week after and every day before. The training center is your Sunday school class. It is your small groups. It is your prayer time. It is your self-study time. It is being in fellowship with other believers, those who know more than you. You want to learn from them, the elder to teach the younger. You want to learn. You want to be trained. Part of training is not only studying God's word, but doing God's word. And where you're best trained is when you take God's word, you apply it to your life, and you apply it to ministries within the church. And you're trained to preach the word and to proclaim the word when you start sharing and start serving in ministries. And the best place for that to occur is in the church. And we offer that, and we want that. We want everyone to be involved in a ministry. We want everyone to be at Sunday school. There should actually be more people in Sunday school than there should be in church. And that's coming soon. That's coming soon. Praise God for that. We're thankful for our Sunday school via Zoom on Thursdays. right? We've been thankful for that. But let me tell you, I look forward to this. I look forward to this church being packed up for Sunday school to be trained in God's word. It's so very important to be trained and to be ready. For Satan knows that when a Christian is ready with serious and lifelong training in God's word, the power of God's word will convince, will convict of sin, and will bring a person to godly repentance, godly sorrow that leads to repentance, that brings salvation. And for the believer, it will convict us of our sin, and we will be able to be better prepared and better transformed in the image of Christ. Satan knows this is a powerful tool. He knows it. He knows that the person who is ready with a serious and lifelong training, that God's word will be powerful. God's words in the hands of a prepared and prayed for and purpose-driven Christian will do great and mighty things to bring people to Christ. And then once people are brought to Christ, to raise people up as disciples of the Lord. And the multiplication continues. But so very important that we be ready and be prepared. But the Apostle Paul knows, and he passes it on to Timothy and to us, that when God's word is preached, that it does convince, it does rebuke, it does exhort a person, and it will not be easy, and it is not well received. So when you do this, when you minister for the Lord, when you proclaim the gospel, you need to do it with patience, with great patience, with long-suffering patience, and steady and true teaching of God's word. When you preach God's word, don't expect immediate repentance. Don't expect immediate repentance. This comes in God's time, and for some it can take a lifetime to occur. Your job is not to save them. Your job is to be ready, to be trained, and to proclaim God the Holy Spirit, and God's word will do the work that God intends and sets place to do. Let me tell you this. More will reject God's word than receive God's word. So do not be discouraged. You are a soldier of the Lord, and you've been given a command, and your job is to preach the word and to be ready in season and out of season to prepare yourself for what God will have you do. So why will more reject the gospel than receive it? Why? Because as it was in Timothy's day, so it is in our day. People don't want to hear the truth. And they don't want to follow true doctrine. They want to create their own truth. They want to create their own doctrines so that they can continue in their own desires and their own lifestyles. Their will is not surrendered to God's will. Their will is not surrendered to God's will. People want it easy, both believers and non-believers. They want it easy. They want comfortable. They want to be made feel positive. They want it to be comfortable and positive. They want to make me feel like I am right in my sinful choices. That's what I want to hear a preacher tell me. They'll tell you. You got to tell me I have to serve God. I want to serve God on my time, not on God's time. My way, not God's way. Preacher, proclaimer, sharer of the gospel, don't talk to me about sin. Don't talk to me about hell. Don't tell me about these things. Don't talk to me about sin. Don't tell me that I have to serve the Lord. Don't tell me I have to love my neighbor more than I love myself. I even have to love my enemies. Don't tell me that. Because if that's what it means, I don't want it. No way, they'll say to you. What do you mean I can't earn my way to heaven? That's what they'll say. What do you mean I can't? This is the truth. If you're sharing God's word and proclaiming it rightly, these are things that are not done. And they'll say, What do you mean I can't earn my way to heaven? What do you mean I have to repent of my sins? That I have to read God's word and obey it? It's not just a good book for me to read, but I actually have to obey it. I have to surrender myself to it and obey it and repent of my sins. I have to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, the only Lord and Savior that can save me. I have to do that. You're telling me I have to do these things? I have to surrender my will? I have to say yes to the Lord and no to myself and no to what I want to do? I have to say no to the ways of the world? And I don't like what my Bible says. I don't like what the Bible says. They say it's a nice book. I like to read it, nice little words. But I don't like what it really says. So if you preach the word, I'll go across the street to another church. I'll go around the corner to another church. Or you know what I'll do? You know what I'll do? Instead of hearing God's words preached properly, I just won't go to church, and I'll turn the TV on. I'll find a preacher who will tell me what I want to hear. Oh boy. And you know what happens to that person? Here's what happens to that person. Satan has victory in that person's life. And if they're not a Christian, they'll be prevented from becoming one by their own sinful choices. And if they are a Christian, then Satan has just nullified their effect and power in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they don't want to hear God's word be proclaimed and be preached as God's word in sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Christian, this is how hard it is. This is how hard it is. But God gives you this command. Paul knows it, Timothy knows it, but preach the word, proclaim it, be trained, be prepared, do it right, because the consequences are of eternal importance and earthly importance as well. You want the person to receive the truth of God's word so that God can do a mighty work in their life. And it may be a few and not the many, but the few is what God has directed you to do. Again, it's God's responsibility, not yours. Yours is to preach the word. Remember your first and important charge. Preach the word in season and out of season. The second charge is going to go a lot faster now, I promise. The second charge is this. Do the work of the Lord. Verse 5. But you be watchful of all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul, this wonderful verse, starts one of my favorite words in the whole Bible, is but. It's one of my favorite words because, but you, minister of the gospel, proclaimer of God's word, teacher of true doctrine, preacher of the word in church, at your job, at your school, in the street, in your life, but you are to be different. You are to be watchful of all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelist. You are to be watchful, not to be blind to the ways of Satan, nor deaf to the Holy Spirit or the sound doctrine of the Word of God. Be paying attention. You are to watch with physical eyes and see opportunities as well as temptations. But most importantly, with spiritual eyes and prayer, the Holy Spirit will help you to see God's vision and to hear with God's ears. I can share this with you. As a minister of the gospel, that when I pray, when I'm in prayer, when I read my Bible regularly, when I serve the Lord, when I worship, when I walk with God, the Holy Spirit opens a vision where I can see where God wants me to be. And He can also direct me to where He doesn't want me to be, that where Satan is, He will direct me. The Holy Spirit will speak to me. We must be spiritually awake to the Word of God and to God's work. Because if we are not spiritually awake, if we're asleep with our eyes closed, then Satan has nullified our ministry and he is attacking us. And we don't even know it until it's too late. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant. Another word for vigilant is watchful. Be sober, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. So be watchful, be ready, be prayerful, because afflictions will come. Satan will attack, and hard times and afflictions will come. And Satan will attack you, but here's the promise. God is stronger than Satan. Amen? And no matter what afflictions he has given upon you, do not stop serving the Lord, because God will overcome it all for his glory and for his purpose. Even in your affliction, if you're obedient to the Lord, it will be a testimony for the Lord Jesus. And it's a glorious thing. It becomes what Satan meant to destroy. God will glorify if we give it to him. So do the work and the ministry God has called you to do, to always and in every way preach the word, share the gospel, and do the work of whatever ministry God has called you to, even at this moment or whatever the ministry may be. Do the work of the Lord. The third charge that Paul gives to Timothy, be like me. Be like me. Verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day. And not only me, but also to all those who loved his appearing. The Apostle Paul knows that his death is intimate. His death is coming very soon. He knows it's coming very soon. So he gets very personal at the end. He gets very personal with his son in the faith. And he wants his son to know, as well as you and I, to be like him in his life of faith. Paul has said in 1 Corinthians 11:11, he says, as I imitate Christ, imitate me. That's for all of us. So how can we imitate the life of faith, as well as the blessed results of faith that Paul had? We got to understand who Paul was. Understand this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he loved God. He loved Jesus with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, all of his strength. And that transcended to loving his neighbors and his enemies with all that he had. Every breath he took was for God. Every minute he lived, every minute he walked was for God. He gave it all to God. He completely served God with his life for the benefit and for the blessing of sharing the gospel with everyone that God brought to him, and those he brought to and those God brought him to. Everybody he met, he taught God's word. He proclaimed the gospel. He made disciples. Every moment of every day, there was kingdom serving. There was proclaiming of the gospel. There was preaching everywhere. There was no division for Paul. It was all about Christ. No matter the risk, Paul was sold out for Jesus. He was truly, completely sold out for Jesus. And the more you give to the Lord, the more that he gives back to you. So how sold out are we for the Lord Jesus Christ? How sold out are we to proclaiming and to preaching the gospel? And if it's only a little bit, why are we surprised that we have no results? No results. No matter the risk, Paul was sold out for Jesus, even to the point of death. He tells Timothy, he says, I am being poured out as a drink offering. In Greek, this means that completely giving himself, emptying himself, leaving nothing on the table. This is the picture of Paul. This was the picture of Christ. Jesus himself was imaged in this way in Philippians 2, 6 and 7. He says, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of nothing, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming the likeness of man. So may Paul's sold-outness and Jesus' example, may these two examples, Jesus is our primary example, but may Jesus and Paul be our example. May it be the picture of our lives that we completely sell out for Jesus, giving it all to him. And then 2 Timothy 4:7, which we'll share right now, may this be a verse that you not only put on your refrigerators and memorize because it is the jewel of this passage, but may this be the testimony and the legacy of our life as Christians. And may it be the testimony of this church. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul is charging Timothy that the Christian life of true discipleship and service is not easy, but it has rewards. There is a fight. There is a fight when you become a Christian and you're serving God. If you're not serving God, the fight is less. But if you're a Christian who's serving God and proclaiming his gospel, there is a fight always. And the fight is a spiritual fight of Satan and trying to destroy what you're doing for God. But God will win. God will win the fight, but it is a fight. Christ will win, but it is physically exhausting. You got to know that when you're serving the Lord, you will be attacked, but you will also be strengthened and blessed. There is the race. This race of faith is a lifelong marathon of faith. The race never ends from the time that you accept the Lord to the time you take your last breath. The race never ends. It's a race of never stop serving and loving and proclaiming and teaching God's word up until your very last breath. And then keeping the faith. Keeping the faith to the very end, to not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ within your life. May our words be those of Paul in Romans 1:16 when he says this, how wonderful these words are. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Gentile. So Timothy, my son, and beloved Christian of today, Paul will tell you it is not easy, as you know, but it has wonderful rewards. It's what Paul looked forward to in eternal life and what he knew to be true. He knew what awaited him when he fought the good fight and he stayed to the end, he kept the faith. He knew what awaited him in eternity. He knew that when Jesus calls him home, Paul would say something like this. Paul would believe this, and it is true. When Jesus calls him home, what will happen here is Jesus goes up to heaven. I mean, Paul goes to heaven. In an instant that he passes, he's in the presence of the Lord. And when he's in the presence of the Lord, he kneels before his King. And Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And then as he's kneeling down, see this image, and Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He has a crown that he puts on Paul's head. It is the crown of righteousness. It's not a crown for salvation. It's a crown of the good works that were done in Jesus' name, in Jesus' service, in this life. And all Christians who serve the Lord, all Christians will have this crown of righteousness. All that you do for the Lord will be rewarded by him in heaven. How wonderful is that? So as hard as it is here on earth, as hard as it may be, as much as afflictions you may have, as much as Satan tries to break you down, there are rewards in heaven. Like we even need rewards anyway, just being in heaven will really be enough. Amen? Amen. But it's going to be good stuff. It's a rejoiceful crown. It really is. And you know what will happen to that crown? You know what will happen to Paul? Paul will take that crown and he won't parade himself around heaven, but he will take that crown of righteousness and he will lay it down at the feet of Jesus, as we all will, because we'll know, and we do know, that all acts of righteousness and all good works and all good things that we can do come through Jesus' power and his love and his provision for us. We have no good works on our own. Everything we do is nothing compared to for God. It's only because Jesus gives us the privilege and the power to do these things, to serve the Lord. How wonderful is that? Envision that image, that you take your crown and you lay it at the feet of the Savior in an act of worship. Amen. For again, all of our righteousness, all of our rewards, all of our blessings on earth and in heaven are because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed we are. And what a blessing it is to serve the Lord. Paul shares this with Timothy as an encouragement and for us as well, that God is watching, that Jesus is pleased when we serve him, when we obey him, when we proclaim his gospel. Even if we don't see results, Jesus is pleased. And that is enough. That is more than enough. Charge number four. Hard times and hard people will come. A minister of the gospel, proclaimer of the gospel. Know this. Hard times and hard people will come. But Jesus is always there. Verses 9 to 18. Be diligent and come quickly for Damas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only the Lord is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Taurus when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You must also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord, this is the great verse here, guys. Pay attention. Verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me from his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me share this with you before I share this point. It's so very important to read God's word. And that's why even though I can't pronounce half of these names that no longer exist because no one can pronounce them, it is important to read God's word. And I'll read it over and over again. Amen. After the solemn charge of these great spiritual importance that Paul lays out in the first, really the first one, the second one, even the third one, Paul lays out some last spiritual, fatherly, and ministerial advice. He says to Timothy, he says, come quickly, because I'm about to die. I'm about to die, and I want to see your face before I go. And I'm all alone, all except Luke, the faithful Luke, the doctor and scribe of the Acts and Luke. All the others who serve with him, all the others that serve with Paul have deserted him. They deserted him in his darkest hour, some for good reasons, some for not good reasons. There's some were good, some were sent to other ministries in other cities. Others were decided to leave the faith because they loved the world more than they loved God. And this Alexander, this slanderous enemy of the gospel, whoa, pay attention to this. The Lord will repay him for his slander. So when you are attacked by people, understand that God is in control and God will deal with what God needs to deal with. So Timothy, my son, come soon. I need encouragement. I want to see your face one last time and bring Mark. Bring Mark who is helpful to me. Bring Mark. I want to see him too. And by the way, as well as bringing Mark, bring my books, bring my pens, bring my paper, bring my coat, please. I'm cold. But who is this Mark? When you read God's word, I got to share this with you real quick. There's a little time. When you're reading the letters of Paul, sometimes it's very tempting to pass over that last bit of that last chapter. You think that's just like the end. There's really nothing there. But there are jewels in every word at the end. I encourage you to read it closely. Who is this Mark? It is John Mark, the young disciple who left the mission field. He left Paul and wouldn't go into the mission field. And Paul was so hurt that even when Barnabas wanted to bring him back, Paul wouldn't let him come back. He was so hurt, he didn't think he was ready. He wouldn't let him come back. It was such a great divide that it divided Paul and Barnabas as a team, as a ministry team. That's how great the offense was to Paul. Well, clearly, there has been Christian reconciliation between Paul and John Mark. What a beautiful thing this is. What a beautiful thing this is that he now calls Mark helpful to him. And he wants to see him before he dies. You see, this is Christ. This is what it's all about. This is not a tangent. It's so very important. Forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration of relationship. This is what's really so important to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would use this example. That even in ministry, people will disappoint you. They will offend you. They will hurt you. Forgive them. Restore the relationship. Reconcile, and then the blessing will be that much greater. It was that much greater for Paul that he calls Mark on his deathbed to come and see him. It's what Jesus wants for us all. Satan wants to keep us divided in any way he can. Jesus wants us united, forgiving and loving and reconciling and restoring our relationships. But with his last words to his son in the faith, Paul brings the greatest encouragement for all of us as Christians who serve Jesus, who proclaim his gospel, who endure hardship, who will fight the fight, who will finish the race, who will keep the faith. Here is the encouragement. Are you ready? The Lord Jesus will always be with you. The Lord Jesus will always be with you. The Lord Jesus will stand with you. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. He will preserve you. He will make you profitable for God's kingdom. And as Paul is saying to Timothy, as he has used me, let you as well be used. Let me close with the reading of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 and verse 22. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, grace with you. Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. Pastor.
Thanks, John, for sharing that word of encouragement. We're now going to transition to the part of our service where we take communion. But have you